Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
I have just a few announcements for you, and the one that I really need to share with you is, many of you are likely aware by now, but if you're not, that Barb Postel passed away yesterday morning with Dave right there beside her. As he described the moment to me, it was definitely a very special moment for him. And she had a vision a number of weeks ago of seeing herself dancing around his throne, dancing around Jesus' throne. And we know that this morning she is in his presence and she is dancing around that throne. And for that, we say thank you. We thank you because that's the gift of salvation. Amen? Amen. Amen. So there will be a celebration of life held to honor Barb, and it will be held here at our church this coming week. It will be on Thursday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon right here. So if you are talking to people and they're wondering or if they're asking about that, it will be held here on Thursday at 2 o'clock. And so continue to keep Barb or keep Dave and the boys and their families in your prayers. And Father, right now we pause. And we say thank you for Barb's life. Father, we thank you for her complete devotion to you. She served you faithfully. She ran the race that you called her to run, and she ran it well. And over the past 20 years that she's been here in this valley, she has cared for, she supported, she stood alongside, and she has planted many, many seeds, and she has built many friendships. And Father, I thank you that over these past few weeks, especially since receiving the diagnosis, that she has been able to conclude her time, and she's concluded it well. And she's spoken blessing over her family, over her friends. And we thank you that you afforded her that opportunity. Father, we pray that you would be with Dave, that you would be with the children, their spouses, with the grandchildren, the siblings. God, we ask that you would continue to be with them. We thank you for the promise in your word that says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And Holy Spirit, we thank you this morning for your comfort. We thank you for what you're going to continue to do through the memories we have of her, the legacy that she left behind, and how we will have the opportunity to water upon seeds that Barb has planted all throughout this valley. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to dive right into my message for you this morning. And as I've been taking this time over this last little while to reflect upon our time that we have had here with you, we have been able to see some great improvements that have taken place here in the church, both individually, corporately, and physically. We have seen how God has brought us into the path of individuals and to be able to encourage them and to walk with them as they continue to discover the journey that God has them on. And over this last little while, you know, we've walked with some people on some changes that have taken place. And as we know, a lot of people do really struggle with change. Are you one of those individuals that you just don't like change? I remember walking, I was here one night, and there was something going on, and somebody had walked in, and it was their first time being in the auditorium since the chairs had come, and, you know, some things that had changed, and they just said, I don't deal with change very well. And most of us, if we're honest, we actually don't deal with change very well ourselves. You know, change, we're good with it as long as we're in control of that change. But when it's thrust upon us, it can be very, very challenging. And which led me earlier in our time here to walk with you through a series on change, which we called, and we talked about that transitions move us forward. In order for us to move forward, there has to be changes, correct? Because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And so for some of you, you've been wanting for a number of years to see some renovations take place here in the church. And, you know, it's one of those things that people have said to me, you know, if you want to destroy your career in ministry, go in and make some major modifications to a church. And I want to report that I'm not the one who necessarily made all of the changes that have taken place. I believe what's happened is we were able to come alongside of you, the church, the leadership council, and help you facilitate and make some of the changes that you've wanted to make for quite a while. I remember one particular change that we met, and I stood in the foyer and waiting for people to walk in just to see what the reaction would be. And the response was, they looked and they saw the stairwell changed, and it's like, it's about time. It's about time. You know, it's one of those things that we talk about and we go on, and, you know, some things we talk about for 20 years, and nobody ever wants to be that person that makes the change, right? Because we know that when there's changes, it can often come with a bit of ridicule. It can come with some opinions. And sometimes we just look at it and we say, you know what? I don't want to be the one that's subjected to all of that, the opinions of people, so I'm just going to back off. And how many times when we're pursuing what God is calling us to do, and it involves changes, and that we go through the same thing, and we just simply say, God, you know, I know that you're calling me to do this, but I gotta say no, because what it's going to involve and the changes that need to take place and the opinions that I'm going to get from people, I just gotta say no. Just gotta say no. Earlier this year, when we were meeting as a staff and having a planning meeting and looking at the entire year for us as a church, you know, we were looking at the different events that were coming up and different times of the year. And so we were looking at October 31st, and we looked at this date. And so anyway, I had pitched an idea to the team that I had been a part of in the past and just wanted to share it with them and asked if it had ever been done, and they said no. And as we talked about it, they got excited. It's like, hey, this sounds like a really good idea. And so the event, as you heard Pastor Trevor talk about last week, is that on October 31st, we're going to be doing an event called Trunk or Treat. Now, the thing is that when it comes to Halloween, we know that we're going to be subjected to opinions and thoughts and ideas, correct? Right? You're going to get people who look at the negative side of everything. I mean, we can do the same thing with pretty much any holiday, right? I mean, when people look at Christmas, they put up the tree not realizing that this is actually a pagan ritual, right? So there's a lot of things about every holiday. But the thing is that this October 31st is going to come whether we like it or not. And the thing is that, you know, with our society today, they're trying to take away the word Christmas. I love walking into stores that you can't say Merry Christmas, but they've got Joy to the World, the Lord has come, playing on the speakers in the store. It's like, isn't this a bit of an oxymoron? You know, so I mean, we can go to our schools now and watch our children participate in winter carnivals and winter musicals, but come on, we know what they are, right? It's a Christmas musical. It's a Christmas parade. It's a Christmas thing. So sometimes we just simply got to call a spade a spade. So Halloween is going to take place whether we like it or not, correct? Okay. So we can sit at home, we can turn off the lights, we can hide away, but no matter what, the children are still going to come and ring the doorbell. And you're going to hear them outside the door and say, okay, everybody be quiet. And you can hear them outside, trick or treat. Okay, don't say a word. Right? It's kind of like when the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses come to our door, everybody ducks. It's like, don't let them see. Did they see us? Right? But the purpose behind Trunk or Treat is for us to seize an opportunity to love our community. I'm kind of getting tired of being the person or being a part of a community that says that we want to show Jesus' love, but when we have the opportunity to show his love, we turn off the lights, we hide away, and we don't make a sound. On October 31st, We're going to have signs going up Anderton, along Lynchert, because the children are going to be out and they're going to be going door to door. And we want to invite them to come into the parking lot where there's going to be individuals, hopefully from our church. Maybe some small groups will decide to cancel their night that night and come here and open up their trunks. And as the children are coming by, to go from trunk to trunk and collect candy. Because it's an opportunity for us to love our community. Sure, we can look at all of the origins of how this holiday or this event came about. Or we can choose to be the people that love on our community. When it comes to the community, when people look at our sign out front or they see this building, I want them to look at our church and say, that's the church that I went into. And Sandy met me at the door. And she provided me a bag of groceries. I was sleeping underneath the stairwell and somebody showed up and they brought me in and they let me get a shower and stay warm and get something to eat. I went to that church. I walked through the parking lot on October 31st and man, they handed out the biggest chocolate bars for me. So when they're going through something in life or Holy Spirit is speaking into their heart and they see our church, I want them to see this church as a safe place, as a place, you know what? The people in there, they loved on me. Is that the kind of people that we want to be? Is God calling us to be people who love or people who hate? Exactly. God is calling us to be love. So sometimes it's simply easier, you know what? You go do your own thing. I'm going to do things my way. But is this what God is calling us to do? Some of you have dreams that are inside of you that are waiting to be unleashed. Aaron's not here. Esther is here. And a few years ago, they had this dream of creating a community garden here on our property. And they had to jump through a lot of loopholes. It was not an easy endeavor for them. It took a lot of work. And at probably times, they were probably frustrated and probably thinking, God, why? Right? But they persevered knowing that this is something that God had called them to do. And they created this. And this past summer, they were both very busy and I was chatting with them and I said, well, I can go out and tend to the potatoes and pick up the ground cherries and stuff like that. And I would go out to the garden. And as I would go in there and there were other people there that were tending to their garden, I had the opportunity to have some amazing conversations with individuals from our community that don't come here. Most of these people that you see growing items out here are actually not from our church. But they're so grateful for the fact that a church would allow space on their property to be used for them to grow vegetables and to grow fresh items. It's such a blessing. You know, I think of Esther Donovan, and she has this dream of filling this auditorium with individuals, with couples during the Christmas season to have an opportunity to go for a date night. And so on December 13th and 14th, there's going to be skits that are going to be taking place. Couples are going to be able to come and join here and have a date night and desserts and raise money for missions and have a great night out. And the thing is that now that we have chairs in here versus pews, we can actually start to dream about other things that can happen in this space. It doesn't have to just be for Sunday morning. We have the opportunity to love on our neighbors, to love on our community, and transform this space. But the thing is that Aaron, they are not able to do these things on their own. They need individuals. So when Esther puts out the call, she has all sorts of people stepping up that, you know, I love acting and my passion is acting. Can I do something? I love to decorate. Can I help? She's still looking for individuals. And if this is something that you would like to be a part of, please talk to Esther. She would love to hear from you. Esther and Aaron are looking for people to help them with the community garden. If that is something, if you like doing that, please talk to them. They would love to show you and help you to understand how you can get involved. Sometimes we think it's a lot of work, but it's simply doing what God is calling us to do. And when we're doing what God is calling us to do, what does He also do? He equips us. Exactly. He equips us to do what we're called to do. So I believe that for each of us, there are dreams inside all of us. I remember a number of years ago, now this isn't a very spiritual dream, but I had a dream of running a triathlon. I wanted to compete in a triathlon. And I was already working out somewhat regularly, but it was easy to kind of fall off the bandwagon when you don't have a goal. And so I decided to set this as a goal. And it's interesting that all through my training for this event, and I went into it thinking, okay, I'm really going to have to work on my swimming because that's the weakest component. Okay, I can bike ride, that's not so bad. And running, well, running just seemed to come a little bit easier for me. I didn't really enjoy it, but I was able to do it. One thing that happened every time I would start my training is I would get inflicted with gout. And if you've ever had gout in your big toe, it is not a pleasant experience, right? Even having the bed sheet on your toe at night is a lot of pain. So anyway, the day I suffered with this, and I would change my diet, and I would do whatever the doctor would ask me to do, and do all of this sort of stuff. And then the day of the event, I was under a massive flare-up in my toe. And I thought, there's no way. I have trained for almost a year for this. I am going to persevere and do this. You know, I got into the pool, what happened was that the weakest part actually became the strongest part. I had to shove my toe into a shoe and cycle, and then I had to jump off my bike and run. And I mean, I kind of felt like, well, not, I mean, you see how Terry Fox ran? That's how I was running and trying to do this. Like, I was literally dragging my toe and in so much pain, like with every step, it was like, ow, 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 and I had to do this. But I managed, I persevered, and I completed this. It was something that I wanted to do, and I had this dream of doing it. For the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about what's involved to train as an Olympian, and what is it that an Olympian has to do. They don't just wake up one morning and then call up the IATA and say, hey, I want to compete in swimming. They can't just do that. They've got to undergo some major training, and then they have to be selected. They've got to win all of these sorts of things. But every Olympian has one goal. They want to be able to cross the finish line. And perhaps for some of them, their ultimate goal is to get on that podium and to have that medal placed around their neck. Well, this morning what we're going to do is we're going to look at six things that an Olympian will do. And in light of that, we're going to look at six things that we ourselves can do to train for what it is that God is calling us to do. So we started off with on your mark, get set. And this morning, we're going to dream. And it's time to start putting these things and putting these things into practice as you persevere. Because as we know, our dream doesn't just happen overnight. We still have to work as we're pursuing that dream. So what we're going to do is we're going to start by looking at Scripture. And I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. We've been reading this for the last few weeks. And we're going to continue. We're going to read it again this morning together. James chapter 1, starting to read at verse 2. And it says this, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And I pray that as we continue to look at these different things that you're calling us to, ways that we are being called to train, I pray that you would open up our hearts to continue to persevere, to do what it is that you're calling us to do. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing that we should do when, if you're wanting to be an Olympic or training for Christ, is we need to train every day. We all know that after a weekend of eating all sorts of unhealthy food and laying on the couch and binge-watching something on Netflix, probably by Sunday afternoon, it's like, okay, I have to do something tomorrow. I have to get up and go and exercise of some sort. Has anybody ever fallen prey to that weekend warrior syndrome? Right? When you're laying there on the couch, you have all of this motivation. And then the alarm clock goes off the next morning. And you wake up. And it's like, okay, today is day one. And you get out there. And you're that person. And those arms are just a-going as you're walking up and down the street. Or you go for a 5K run. Or you go to the pool and you dive in and you start swimming. And you're changing your eating habits. And by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, what happens? You're starving. And you just can't think of how you're going to contain this. And then so then Tuesday morning wakes up. And the alarm clock goes off. And you're laying in bed. It's like, I can barely move. How am I supposed to get out and go for another 5K run? I can barely move. Right? And then you're laying there. And it's like, oh, that chocolate cake is still in the fridge. And I'm starving. Well, maybe I can muster up the strength to get to the fridge to eat that chocolate cake or that leftover trifle that's still in the fridge that I might have got a picture of somebody was tempted yesterday morning. But the thing is we hear that thing, and for me, it's not the chocolate, it's not the trifle, it's the fact that those silly potato chips are in the pantry and they're screaming out to me to come, right? So that's why we just learned that we just can't keep these things in the house. But we persevere. The testing will bring perseverance. The testing of your faith will bring perseverance. In our Christian walks, we will come up against all sorts of obstacles, but we're reminded that we are having to be in a fight. We fight the enemy. Every day that we wake up, we are in battle for the Lord. We realize that we need to spend time in prayer. We need to spend time studying. We need to fight, but the question is, how? We fight by spending time daily with God. God is not like a smorgasbord or a buffet, right? We don't just show up on Friday night between 5 and 8 o'clock and we fill ourselves up and thinking that that's going to last us for the entire week. It's not like, well, I went to church on Sunday morning. I was in there from 10 till about 11:30. That was my smorgasbord. I'm good. I don't need to touch my Bible again until next week. Every single day we are in training. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Number two, keep your eyes on the prize. When you are an Olympian, your goal is going to differ from an ordinary Joe who's simply trying to stay in shape. The Olympian will train in order that they compete with the best athletes all around the world. They want to get that top spot. Us ordinary Joes, we might just think, I just got to simply get out of bed in the morning. That's my goal. I got to get out of bed and go and do something. But the key thing is that no matter what goal you're setting for yourself, there's three things to remember. Number one, keep it simple. Sometimes we complicate our goals. We make them so difficult that we can't even keep up with what it is that we're setting for ourselves. The second thing is, keep it specific. Know what it is that you're going after. And then finally, keep it sensible. Right? Set yourself up for success. Is this something that you are able to do? Right? You might have a goal of, I want to have my entire house paid off and I want to be mortgage-free in 2 years. Well, if your mortgage is, say, $200,000 and you're only making $36,000 a year, is that a realistic goal? Is that a sensible goal? Are you going to get your house paid off and still live? No. In our Christian walk, we must do the same. When we go about our Christian journey, sometimes we look at it that it is so difficult, So difficult. But looking at these three things again, keep it simple. Love Jesus. Keep it specific. Focus on Jesus. Keep it sensible. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Right? When we look at how Jesus lived and walked amongst the people, he kept it very simple. It wasn't a complicated life that he lived here on earth, was it? He just simply was out and he was with the people. We don't read about him while he only hung out with the church people. No, we hear that he was out with the tax gatherers and sinners. If Jesus was walking among us today and he was driving, do you think that he would come and set up his vehicle on October 31st and participate in trunk or treating? Yes. Absolutely he would. It's not the people who know him that need to be well. It's those that are sick. He's out there with the people. We are called to be out there with the people, to walk amongst them. If we're not there, how are they going to hear about Christ? Right? And I know that some of you will, you probably already tuned out me, even with the thought of thinking about trunk or treat. That's okay. Just put in your headphones. I'm going to continue to preach. All right? But perseverance must finish the work that it's called to do. We must be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Every day, remind yourself of who you live for and what you've been called to do. Philippians 3:14 says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Number three, be specific in your training. Do you know what it is that you're training for? An Olympian will know what they're training for. If they're training to run a marathon, they know that they have got to put their entire body into this. They know that they are going to have to train and prepare to run 26 miles. They know that they are going to have to incorporate long runs into their weekly lifestyle. They know that they're going to have to do some speed work. They know that they're going to have to do some strength training, right? Just getting out to do a running is like, oh, that sounds pretty easy. I've got strong legs. I can do this. Is it just your legs that are involved when you're running? No. It's the entire body. As a spin instructor, sometimes I kind of chuckle. It gets a little annoying at times. But you see these people come in and they get on the bike and they've got these like toned legs. And then the belly is hanging down here, and they're spinning, and it's like, you have to look after the entire body. It's not just the legs. We have to train. It's just like in a church. We have an entire body, right? We need the entire body at work. When it comes to training, we have to ensure that our lungs, our heart, our arms, everything about us is in tip-top shape to do what we are called to do. There's very specific training. You know, when you look at a hockey player, you might think, well, how hard is it to have a stick in your hand and a little black piece of rubber on the ice? It's a lot of training. There's more to just walking around with a puck. It's interesting that when you do the comparison of training to be an Olympian and the training for the course that God has us on, the similarities. So number one, for both, it's important that we are fully in shape. We too need to ensure that every component of our body is in tip-top shape. When one part of the body is struggling, everything else will begin to struggle. It's important to be fully functioning. When your brain is not functioning the way that it should be, it throws things off course. That's why when I'm teaching fitness, I help people to understand it's the mind, the soul, and the body, right? Because what happens? If your mind is not thinking properly, do you have the motivation to get up and go work out? No. And when you're feeling lethargic and you just don't have the energy, do you really want to spend time with God? It's just this cycle. When the spiritual is out of whack, it affects the mental. When the mental's out of whack, it affects the physical. And it's this cycle. And that's why Jesus teaches us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. not just one or the other. And then finally, fully operational. In our church, it's important that we have every gift at work. So for Aaron, for these things, they can't do them on their own. They need people to come alongside. It's like, oh, Esther, you're going to direct? I can act. Oh, I can make cookies. Oh, I can set up. We need the entire body at work, helping one another out. So if your goal is to build more muscle, what do? You eat more, you lift, and you build you eat more protein. If your goal is to be a strong Christian, you need to spend more time eating God's word, spending time in prayer, and eating a healthy dose of mind-consuming substances. In everything that we need, we ask God. So if there's anything that you're lacking, who do you ask? It's like, I set you up for success on that answer right there. It's like the classic Sunday school answer. The answer is Jesus. I know, right? Number 4, fuel your body for peak performance. When you're training for the Olympics, you want to ensure that you have the right foods going into your body. An Olympian makes sure that they're eating well, that they've got a balance, or they exercise, and they rest. They rest. An Olympian is not going to have a diet of junk food. They will ensure that they're getting the right nutrients going into their body. If they are out and they are set out to do a 15K run and they're struggling, they're going to start asking themselves, what is it that I've been putting into my body? Why is it that I'm struggling so hard? Why is today so difficult? The same thing in our journey with Christ. You know, we go along and say, God, why is it that I'm so discouraged today? God, why am I so downcast? Why is this going on? And we stop and we ask ourselves, well, what is it that we've been putting into our body? Oh, well, God, I haven't been taking the time to spend with you. I haven't been talking with you. Everything else has been getting my attention. As we train for the journey that God has called us to do, what do we fill our minds with? Do we have a balanced Christian life? Do we eat well? Are we spending time in the Word? Do we exercise? Are we praying? Are we resting? Are we trusting in God? Are we taking the time? You know, nowadays we see that everybody is going after that quick solve solution, correct? Right? Every year it seems that there's a new food that comes on the market that is a superfood. I mean, 20, 30 years ago, I did not even know what kale was. And I will be honest, I'm still not a fan of kale. It's disgusting. Cook it. Pour vinegar on it, pour salad dressing. It's not a great food. But we're told that this is the new superfood. Right? Every year we're told of something new that we need to be eating and putting into our body. Every year you'll see the New York Times bestseller list and the best book that everybody suggests. Oh, you've got to read this book. This is the book that's going to change your life. There's only one book that's going to change your life. If you're eating this, if you're spending time with the author of this book, and you're applying this on a daily basis, I guarantee you, you will have a balanced life. Do you believe that? This is not something that we open up on Sunday morning, say around 10:45, and we look into it. This is something that we should be opening up every single day. And it's so much easier now with our phones. We can have the Word of God at our fingertips 24/7. But it's so easy just to sit on the toilet and play Candy Crush or Facebook or whatever. I know that the Bible app is right there, but that one just doesn't help me go as quickly. Right? When we're laying in bed and it's like, oh, I need to fall asleep, I'll just see what's happening on social media before I go to sleep. Open up your Bible. Start reading. Fall to sleep in God's presence. Number 5, know when to rest. Olympians know when it's time to take a break. Not listening to what they're being told or their body is telling them could mean the difference between winning and losing. Why is it that doctors tell us when we've gone through surgery or we have a cold, what did they tell us to do? Go home and? Jesus, or God, when he created this world, he worked for 6 days. What did he do on the seventh? Are we exempt? Does resting mean taking a break from God? No. It's taking the time to spend with God to allow ourselves to get fueled up. When we don't take the time to stop and slow down, what is often the result? We hear, a number of years ago, we were hearing that so many people were suffering with burnout. Everybody was burning out. What are some of the symptoms of burnout? Powerlessness, hopelessness, emotional exhaustion, isolation, frustration. You just don't want to be around people. The Olympian knows the importance of training and also the importance of taking time to rest. We are training for eternity. It's important that we stop and listen to God. Sometimes God is calling us to just be in his presence. Not do, to be in his presence, to let us hear his voice. He teaches us all throughout Scripture the importance of resting. Sabbath wasn't made for man. Sabbath was made for man. It was an opportunity for us to rest. Matthew 11:28, Jesus doesn't say to quit what you're doing. He says to come to him for the rest that you need. Take my yoke upon you. I will give you rest. Too often we want to go through our life carrying the yoke. Jesus wants to share that load with us, and he wants to give us the strength that we need on a daily basis. And then finally, have perfect form. Many of you may be familiar with Carl Lewis. Carl Lewis, from 1979 to 1996, won 10 medals. 10 gold medals. When he runs, he has got a long, loose stride. He runs with grace. He runs like a thoroughbred. In whatever it is that you are doing, what is your form like? If you're running, stand firm. Keep that upper body nice and tall. Don't run with your hands in a fist. When I see people out running, I often see them running down the street like this. Do you know how much energy it takes to keep your fist closed when you're running? So somebody gave me, they knew my language. They said, Chad, when you're running, if you need to, just put your fingers together. And the amount of pressure that you need is the pressure it takes to pick up a potato chip. I know that pressure. I know what kind of pressure is involved to pick up a potato chip. So now when I'm running, I'm thinking about potato chips and I'm holding my fingers at that. It helps, right? We do what we need to do. When you're working out, if you're in pain, you're obviously doing something wrong, right? As an instructor, I see people, they get in there and they, because, you know, the guys want to lift up the heaviest weights and they want to show off, so they pick up, and then you see them. It's like, what are you doing? I'm working out. No, you're not. You're hurting yourself. Right? Keep that perfect form. Keep that perfect form. Do it the right way so that you have the endurance for the race. How are we living our lives? Are we training for what it is that God is calling us to do? Do we have the endurance? Whatever it is that you're doing, train the same way that an Olympian would train. So how is that? Number one, train every day. Number two, keep your eyes on the prize. Number three, be specific in your training. Four, fuel your body for peak performance, know when to rest, and have perfect form. Now, having said all of these things, let's refocus for just a moment. At the beginning of this series, we started off with on your mark. Get set. dream? What is that God-given dream that God has placed inside of you? What is it that God is speaking into your heart? Because the thing to remember is that what he's speaking into your heart, he's speaking into your heart. It's not a case of, oh, God, thank you for that dream. Now I pray that you would speak to the person on the other side of the room and cause it to come to pass. No, God is speaking to you about it. What is it that he has been equipping you and training you for? Are you ready to take that step of faith? Let me just put your mind at ease right now, okay? Number one, as you get ready to start it on that dream, I guarantee you, opposition is going to come. I guarantee you that people will give you their opinions and thoughts on what it is that you're doing. Whether you want them or not, they're going to give them to you. And number three, you're going to have your own battle going on inside of your mind. So now that we know that, let's put all that aside. Now, let's pursue what God is calling us to do. You know that these things are going to come. Set yourself up for success. So when they do come, just silence them. Are you ready to pursue your God-given dream? Does that dream keep you focused on God? Because if it doesn't, then it's likely a me dream and not a God-given dream. Because a God-given dream, we are unable to do without God. So just like an Olympian trains to get that first place medal, in our dreams, we're not going after the first place. There's only one person that gets the first place ribbon, and that's God. So if you're going after first place, you need to change your dream or listen closer, because God should be number one. And it's okay for us to come in second or third or 100th or simply to get a participant reward. Because the key thing is it's crossing that finish line. Yesterday morning, Barb crossed that finish line. And I believe that she heard Jesus say to her, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Here is your reward." How are we training here on this earth? What are we allowing to consume our minds? We can pretend and cause everybody else to think that everything is okay, but God sees what's going on inside of our hearts. Kyla's going to lead us in this song, and it says, "All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the streams of life, and let the pain and the sorrow, let it be washed away in the waves of his mercy. As deep cries out to deep, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come." So you might be there this morning, and as I gave you that visual last week, you could be down there in that on your mark position, get set. And you might be there like, no, God. No, I did the training. That was way too hard. And you're having that video playback syndrome going on in your mind. And you're thinking about all of the times that you might have failed in the past. Well, God, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And God, I sinned. And God, I came to you for forgiveness. You remember? And he's like, no, I don't remember. But God, I don't remember. You're in that position, and I want you to dream, and it's time to come out of the gate. And this time, I want you to remember that I'm running with you. Keep your eyes fixed on him, and he's the one that's going to lead you. He's the one that's going to give you the strength. But Chad, you don't know this dream that God's been speaking into my heart. It is massive, perfect. Because if you could do it on your own, then it's not a God-given dream. You can't do it without God, then that is a God-given dream. that I've been subjected to. You know the things that have been spoken. But God, this morning I'm taking a stand of faith. God, I'm thirsty. God, I need you. I can't do this dream without you. God is looking for willing hearts this morning. As I look out over these people, I'm not looking, but you're looking. And you know what's going on inside of each heart and each mind. And you see the step of faith that they are taking this morning, of realizing that I can't do this without you, God. And you know what needs to be washed away. You know what needs to be poured into them. You know what needs to be done. And Father, they're acknowledging and saying this morning, God, I can't do this without you. Father, I pray that for each person that's in this place this morning, for that dream that you have spoken into their hearts, that God-given dream that you've spoken into each of them. God, I pray that they would have the strength to persevere. Persevere to go through the testing, knowing that you are with them. You're watching over them. You are protecting them. You're guarding their hearts. Protect their minds from their own thoughts, from the thoughts of other people, from those opinions, and that they would run the race. Go after the dream that you have called them to. Father, this morning, this Thanksgiving weekend morning, I'm thankful for each person that is in this place. I'm thankful for their devotion to you. I'm thankful for the desire that you have placed in each of their hearts. I'm thankful this morning that when you called their name, they answered. They responded, and they said, yes, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to walk with you. And God, as we go from this place this morning, I pray that as we go forth, we would go forth as people filled with thanksgiving. That the first thing out of our mouths would be the fact that we're thankful for God's provision. We're thankful for how you continue to pour out. We're thankful for your grace. Because that individual who's wrestling, hearing that gratitude might be the difference for them. Might cause them to stop and say, how are you so happy? Where do you get that joy? Where do you get that strength? Well, let me tell you about my friend Jesus. God, we thank you for what you have done, and we thank you for what you're going to do, and we thank you for how you're going to continue to move in each of our hearts throughout this community. We ask this in your name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Have an amazing week. Happy Thanksgiving. We will see you here next Sunday or next Thursday.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.